So I just want to give you a little bit more background about myself. I have worked in the practice of public health for over 25 years, and I worked in the state of Florida. Matt, Dylan, and I have known each other for quite a while. And when I was in Florida, I worked in a very poor county. We had a lot of public health issues. At the time I started working, it was 1992, we had farm workers who were dying of tuberculosis. And yet we were having a lot of services that public health was providing within the health department, within the walls of the health department. But when it came to going out into the community, trying to do the core public health services that are important for us to achieve our mission, we didn't seem to have the resources or the money. I became really interested in expanding the scope of the services that we were doing in our public health department, moving away from a heavy emphasis on clinical services and more into population-based services. The problem was getting the dollars, the resources, the partnerships to do those kinds of things. I was not happy or satisfied with the level of performance of the public health system that I was currently working in, and I saw similar problems in other agencies. I decided to go to school, get my doctorate in public health, and try and be a more effective quality improvement, performance improvement advocate, and particularly focusing on the financial aspects of funding and expanding the capacity of public health systems to do more in the area of population-centered public health services and address the risks, the primary causes of the things that make us unhealthy. But to do so, we needed to have resources. And that piqued my interest in really beginning to think strategically about how do we increase the financial capacity of public health systems. I have to disclose that I have no personal financial relationship with any commercial interest relevant to this presentation during the past 12 months. The objectives for this session are to first explain what a financial ratio is, and then to identify the different types of financial ratios that public health agencies can use to help them improve their performance and achieve their overall goals, and to discuss specifically about how public health organizations can use these ratios to become more accountable, to become more transparent, which gives us a lot more credibility if we can account for what we're doing and we're willing to share how we use our resources and what we're accomplishing with our key stakeholders. And then to talk about how we can use financial ratios to improve performance of the financial management of public health funds. So financial ratios are valuable. They help us measure financial success. But first we have to have the data to be able to determine what kind of progress we're making. We also need to have some benchmarks out there that can help us inform some standards down the road. But initially, we need to be able to understand what are the revenues that different public health agencies are collecting, how are they spending those dollars. So by developing financial ratios, we get into the area of standardizing data so we can begin to compare our performance within our agencies over time and with other public health systems. Financial ratios are important for evaluating financial condition. Tracking the performance of finance, the financial health of the agency, is vital in order for us to continue to improve and expand the capacity of public health systems and reach the goals of public health. It's important to know how much variation across public health organizations is really acceptable. And so by standardizing information, we begin to see what is the range in revenues per capita, expenditures per capita, percent of administrative costs, things like that. So it gives us a way to start talking about what are acceptable ranges and when are things way out of whack. And because we can do that, we can start thinking about areas for quality improvement. How do we reduce or shrink our administrative costs? How do we align our revenues and our expenditures with the mission of public health? And then it increases transparency. And by being more transparent, we become better stewards of the public health funds. So financial ratios are basically a collection of data. This data comes from revenues, expenditures, community demographics, programs that are operated by the public health agency, and outcomes. The analysis that we want to do when we look at financial ratios is we want to look at trends over time within our agency and across multiple agencies, and we want to be able to compare our performance with similar size public health agencies. And then once we understand projection, once we understand the trends over time of what our revenues are doing, how they're increasing or decreasing, what the sources are, we can begin to make projections for the future. We have some information to start making some decisions. The ratios that we've assembled have been the work of not only Peggy and myself and Matt Stefanik and Matt Dillon, but we've worked with a number of states and a number of public health systems to come up with this initial set of 53 financial ratios. These ratios can be added to if a particular locale feels it's important to collect additional information. But this is a starting point. And it's an evolving process. It's not set in stone. First, I want to talk to you about revenues per capita. This may be a ratio that's very familiar to many of you in the room. The ratio of revenues per capita is basically looking at what are the changes in your revenues related to the changes in the population of your jurisdiction. The ratio is simply total revenues divided by the total county population or city population or whatever the jurisdiction is for that public health organization. The alerting trend is if we have decreasing revenues per capita. That's not saying that that's a bad thing. That's just saying that, take a look at this, your revenues per capita are decreasing. Is it because your revenues are decreasing? Or is it because your population is increasing? Both of those things are important to understand, to know a little bit more about, because they will affect the overall financial well-being of the public health organization. Now, in this county M that I've created, which is in the blue bar here, I have 3 years of data. And while this data is what we consider, you know, is dummy data, it's not real data, it is based on some of the data that we've been able to collect from different counties around the nation. So in this particular county, we see that revenues per capita are increasing. And we can look at that over time. It went from $47 up to almost $52 in a three-year period. We can compare County M to a peer county. And we see, well, this peer county has started off at a higher revenue per capita rate and is also increasing over time. And then when we compare County M to an average of similar public health agencies of about the same size, we see, again, there's been a slight increase here, but the overall average is low. So County M is doing better than the overall average, but not doing quite as well as this one peer county. What we want to ask ourselves for County M is, are the revenues increasing? Well, when we look at this revenues per capita over time, if the population is staying relatively stable, then the reason why revenues per capita are increasing is because the revenues themselves are increasing. We want to ask ourselves, what source of revenues are increasing? Is this temporary or long term? Are the increasing revenues sustainable? At the same time that our revenues increase, did our services increase? Or has the population size decreased? And in this particular county, the population size did not decrease, so our revenues are increasing. We can do the same kind of analysis for expenditures per capita. Again, changes in expenditures are relative, when we look at expenditures per capita, what we're trying to understand is how are our expenditures changing in relationship to the county population. Here the ratio is total expenditures divided by the county population. The alerting trend is if we have increasing expenditures per capita. Again, not necessarily a bad thing, but we have to look at our ratios in groups. And if our revenues per capita are increasing along with our expenditures per capita increasing, then we can feel as though if we look at a few more ratios that we may not be headed for trouble because we've got sufficient revenues to cover our expenditures. And this is an analysis of the public health expenditures per capita using a bar chart similar to the revenues per capita. And we see here that in County M, the revenues per capita have increased a bit, but they're not totally out of line. The expenditures per capita have increased a bit, but they're not totally out of line with the revenues per capita that have been increasing. And again, we see that the Pierce County expenditures per capita have increased as well. They're higher. But when we look at the average is not increasing too much, and it's lower than the expenditures per capita for County M. Some questions we want to ask do we have sufficient revenue to cover this increase in expenditures if the population is staying stable? Are the increases due more to services? To increase services, to increase cost of services, or to increased administrative costs. So what is driving this increase in expenditures? And then again, the other question to ask is, has the population decreased? In our example, the population is staying stable. So when our expenditures and revenue per capita are increasing, that means our overall revenues and expenditures are increasing. Now, total margin ratio is one way we can look at the combination of revenue and expenditure in one formula. Total margin is simply the difference between revenue and expenditure divided by revenue. It basically reports on what every dollar of revenue we bring into our agency produces in terms of surplus or deficit dollars. The ratio is total revenues minus total expenditures divided by total revenues. And here the alerting trend would be if we had a negative value, that would indicate that we're not controlling our costs, that our expenditures are exceeding our revenues. An alerting trend would also be decreasing values of the total margin. If we have very high negative values, this may indicate financial difficulty for this organization because they are spending more than they are bringing in. For every dollar of revenue they bring in, they're losing money. This is a graphical analysis of total margin for County M, and we see that in 06, County M was doing pretty well, but their total margin is starting to decrease. But when we look at peer counties, we see that our peer county had a very small total margin in 2006. It was actually a negative value in 2007 and continued to be negative in 2008. And for the average counties, there is a decreasing trend. So in fact, our County M is doing better when it comes to total margin than the peer county or the average public health agencies that are similar in size. And I just want to re-explain what the total margin value means. If we look at the figure in 2008, we see that County M has basically made 2 cents, or they have 2 cents of surplus for every dollar of revenue that they brought in. If this is something that can be sustained, it may be an indication that they have some surplus dollars they can reinvest in public health services or rebuild their infrastructure, shore up their infrastructure, particularly if the money is not restricted, if it's money that could go into the general fund, which is less restrictive in terms of how you can use it. So here we want to know, again, what revenue, what expenditures are increasing that's driving this total margin down for County M, and or what revenue streams are shrinking and which ones. Now we can look at the general fund balance. The general fund balance is basically a fund where you can take the money and you can spend it with some discretion on things that are not necessarily mandated or ordered by some funder. So these are dollars that are more available for you to provide more public health services or to rebuild your infrastructure, perhaps provide training, provide your staff some of the equipment and tools they need to do their job. So the ratio here is percent of total revenues in the general fund. The formula is general fund balance divided by total revenues. The alerting trend is if we have low values of the general fund. This would indicate that most of the public health organization's revenues are restricted. And this limits the ability of the organization to fund infrastructure projects or to develop things like essential public health skills in the area of surveillance or community development, community engagement. And then when we look at a graphical analysis of the general fund balance, we see that in our county, the general fund balance is growing. In the peer county and in the average county, the figures are comparable in 2006, but in 2007, we see that the peer county's general fund balance has dropped significantly. And that's also, it sustained that drop in 2008. We also see in the average in 2006 is comparable to County M and to the peer county, but again, it is dropping in 2007 and 2008. So for our county, County M, we want to ask, is their ratio related to the fund balance in line with other public health organizations that are similar in size? Is it unusual to have 21.9% of your total revenues in general fund? Well, without some data from other agencies to really compare yourself, it's hard to answer that question. If we were to look at this particular group of averages, we would say that it looks a little high compared to the average, but it would be something we'd want to explore. We want to know, is the increase in the general fund planned, or do we continue to expect it to increase over the years? If so, are there plans for using these dollars? Is there a reason why this county is putting dollars into their general fund, or why this general fund continues to grow? The last ratio I want to talk to you about is the mission critical ratio. This looks at the percent of monitored community health outcomes that show improvement over a three-year period. So the formula is simply looking at number of community health outcomes that are monitored by the public health agency divided by the total number of the ones that show improvement divided by the total number of monitored community health outcomes. The alerting trend is if we have low values or there's a decrease in the number of outcomes that are showing improvement. This is somewhat of a subjective ratio, but it is our desire to tie funding to the mission critical goals of a public health organization. I think in the state of Florida, it may not be as subjective because they have 16 health status indicators that they monitor for every county in the state. They've been monitoring them for a period of about 16 years. That may be the source of information that they use to calculate their formulas here. And again, the kind of analysis that we would recommend, some people like to see tables, so reporting this information in a tabular format with percent change is one way of looking at it. I've provided you with some graphical presentations that can help analyze this information. But when we look at this particular ratio, we see that in 2006, County M had a 20% of the health status indicators that they monitored showed improvement. It went up to 26% in 2008, so not a lot of change over the years. But when we look at the peer county and the averages, we see there's been significant improvement. So there may be an opportunity here. In fact, there is an opportunity here for County M to look at the other counties and figure out what they're doing to improve community health outcomes, what they've been able to achieve and how they're achieving it. What we might want to ask is, in County M, does their budget include funding for these priority community health outcomes? Because if you don't plan the resources to address what are priority issues in your community, chances are you're not going to be very successful. And the other question we want to ask is, can we spend these resources in County M more efficiently and more effectively? So we want to look a little bit deeper at how they are spending those dollars. So, to recap, with these five financial ratios, we see that revenue and expenditures per capita are increasing in County M. We need to monitor the causes for the increases, what sources of money are contributing to this increase, and are these trends sustainable? And if not, how are we going to plan to continue the programs that these revenues support? The total, we also see the total margin is increasing, but at the same time, the general fund is increasing. So it looks like some of those surplus dollars may be going into the general fund. What are they doing there? What's the plan for using them? And then we do have a low percent of monitored community health outcomes showing improvement. So what can we do? What can we learn from peer counties? What can we learn from looking at our own financial expenditures and revenues? Are those expenditures aligned with the mission? And really spend some time thinking about how our resources are aligned with the mission and what we can do to improve community health outcomes. So standard financial ratios help us monitor and maintain existing service levels. They also help us plan on meeting the need for growth, or if there's a decline, if we have some trend information, we can do some planning around when things start to decline if we see a trend over time. They help us account for revenues, expenditures, and progress in reaching our community goals. They definitely help us identify areas for improvement. And they help us become more transparent. By creating this kind of standardized information and sharing it with our peer organizations, it's a very stimulating process. And my experience has been, once people begin learning about the value of looking at other agencies and how they're performing, they're very willing to open up and share their information and share their data. It's a step in the right direction of becoming more transparent and better stewards of public health funds. Anyway, that concludes my part of the presentation. I welcome any phone calls or email messages. And now I'm going to turn it over to Matt Stefanik.